Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, mobile phones, emergency loans, and walking football. To try and give you a taste of this and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by newshound Sam Turton.
Hello.
And Jess Ward.
Hello.
Plus Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
I think that was the best intro I've done in about 6 months.
It's yeah. Smooth. It was very bouncy, I liked it. There's lots of enthusiasm there.
Spotty's been on a half day. Coming in fresh out of the box. good week, Jess?
Yeah, really good. So, I've been out of the office quite a bit. So, I've been up Northborough.
Is that what you're such happy with?
Up Northborough, covering a very unique story, which you can read in the Examiner, about a guy who's been making a huge, it's 100-foot...
Triskelion. You mentioned it last week's podcast. So now, I'm guessing when you're there, you can't really see it. It's a bit like a magic eye.
You have to
pull yourself away from
Exactly. You're up there close and you're like, okay, it just looks like a big pile of rocks. Great job. Yeah. But yeah, you can see that how it's kind of being formed, but you do need to stand quite well back. And also, there are a lot of rocks around there, so distinguishing it from...
any other rock.
Yeah, it's quite difficult, so that's why he wants to paint white. So,
You probably need a drone then to get a decent
he wants me to somehow find a drone for him, and I'm like, oh, unfortunately, we don't have that sort of technology here, so...
Sam looks like a man that could find a man at the pub with a drone.
Yeah, I think so.
I know two.
Oh, there we go.
There you go. I think we can make
Sam's
this work.
The man for that job.
Katie, good week?
No.
No.
No, I've been very lonely and bored. Oh, no, not bored, because I've been very busy. But yeah. I mean, I've had no one to chat to. Jess hasn't been in much. Producer Emma, she's in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And Grace got the sick. She got that winter.
Yeah, she's very quiet today. She seems to be back, though.
She's back, but...
She's
loads
not.
Loads of people have been getting this illness.
Exactly.
Talking of illness, Samuel, good week.
Yeah, not too bad, you know.
You've got a bit of the sniffles, haven't you?
I've got a horrendously sore throat and I'm absolutely drained. But
so he's powering through, dear listener, for you.
Yeah, I'm blaming Thomas Cook, because I think we should blame them for everything this week.
Oh.
It's either Brexit or Thomas Cook.
Right.
So I'm going to put the two into one and just say it's Thomas Cook's fault.
I thought, just a brief anecdote that almost covers both bases there, but my friend was on the last Gatwick flight to Gatwick from here on Sunday night, and he said it was 2.5 hours delayed. You know, I think they didn't actually leave the Isle of Man until 10 to 11 or something like that.
Because it's already, half nine.
So it was really late. And he said that, you know, people at Ronald's Way were great and, you know, kept on your phone and stuff, and it was just one of those things. But he said the worst thing about it was the two people in the seats in front of him blaming the delay on Brexit.
Really?
Like, how quite Brexit could correlate to EasyJet's delays, I'm not so sure, but there you go.
Sam would find a way.
But yes, Thomas Cook has been the buzzwords this week around the office, haven't they? You've done loads of work around the travel agency businesses.
I've learned so much about travel agents.
Yeah.
Atol, Abta, IATA, some of that. Mm-hmm. So much. It's just, there's a lot of things I didn't know that are all tied around each other, and it's just been a week that's been real. I mean, I think it's a sense of it, like, that you get an idea of how desperate people who've been on holidays are. But it's when you actually speak to people who've been working for these companies, like the Thomas Cook staff, who are just out. That's it. You know, there's no money for you. I'm sorry, that's it, the end. And you look at them going, they're really just looking at themselves going, what do we do from here? Like, and
it's devastating, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, like, and we've had, you can see in the Courier today, we've got Jan Wozniak, who, of course, is Freedom Travel, who's got his own, like, monumental problems, none of which are his fault. This has just been, the world's come down around all these people, and they're looking at themselves, we need to pick ourselves up, and it's, in a sense, impressive that people are trying so quickly to get themselves back on track, but God, it's been a long week.
It's a shock, isn't it? Like, to go from having a job and then, boom, straight away, nothing.
But it's incredible how many of them are still, like, working whilst not getting paid to make sure clients have got rebooked and can get home and don't lose out on everything. Yeah.
And I think, you know, just to save your voice a bit, Sam, I'll direct the people to our wonderful print titles in the Isle of Man Examiner and Manx Independent, and of course there's some in the Isle of Man Courier as well, which will be winging its way through your letterbox as we speak.
I'm doing my round this week.
Is this your dad's round?
Yeah, he's on holiday, I have to do it, me and my trolley.
Aww.
Well, the weather, I thought last night and this morning, you were in, maybe have to wear your whale skins, but it's looking all right tonight.
It's brightening up. I just hope it stays this
way. How many steps is it around the...
You do about 7,000 steps.
Wow, that's a lot, isn't it?
That's a good for your step count.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just a shame I'm not wearing my Fitbit today.
Doesn't count then.
Until 5 p.m. I'll be a waste.
We've all been there. Yeah. Right, before we move on, we've had our final podcast? I hope not. That's a bit of a Freudian slip. We've had our final postcard, haven't we, Jess, from your interrailing adventures, which I'm sure the dear listener has been following intently for the last couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. Except it's not.
It's
the
not?
The Porto one still hasn't arrived, has it? I don't think we're ever going to get that.
Well, Portugal. Who's in Portugal this week?
Okay. Mr. and Mrs. Kitchener.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, they should... Go on, okay. Sam.
Hello, Mrs. Kitchener.
They should test out the theory that Portugal just doesn't like the Isle of Man.
That's
not gonna...
pretty rubbish post office.
Yeah, maybe. I know they're definitely going to send a postcard, so maybe it can race your one from Porto. Maybe it's a city problem in Portugal.
Maybe. Or maybe I got a wrong stamp. Who knows? Could have been that.
Oh, so that's the first time we've heard the wrong stamp excuse, haven't we?
Yeah. Whose fault it is?
Because I hadn't realised when I was in Venice.
It's Brexit's fault.
When I was in Venice, I got a stamp and then I was told by another postie that it was the wrong one. So I had to pay for the international one or something along those lines. So, yeah.
So were you just putting local stamps on them to send to the Isle of Man?
It would only go to certain places in Europe and I had no idea.
Oh, really?
So it was really complicated.
It might be Brexit related then.
Who knows? It's a scab we really shouldn't be picking at, I don't think, at this early juncture in the podcast. But anyway, yes, so talk us through the postcard, Katie.
So it is a long postcard.
A long postcard?
Of the Sagrada Familia, which was Gaudi's unfinished cathedral.
Yeah.
It's good.
Has he finished it yet?
It's never been finished.
So is it like a leak in the roof?
Probably.
And looking on the front there, is that a crane?
Yeah.
When I was there.
It's never been, it was like that when I was
there
2 years
ago. Is the cranes just left there for, because they can't be bothered moving it?
Aesthetics, you know.
I think they're constantly working on it, but it's never
been completed.
I can't
remember what the deadline is, but they set themselves a target, which is coming up pretty quick. I feel like maybe even 2026 is...
Quick.
But you're talking 100, like a long time.
It's been going like that for absolute years.
Okay, well, people sort of... maybe have disparaging words about the Department of Infrastructure over here, but they're taking the mick there in Spain, aren't they, Sam?
You know? They are indeed.
It's really interesting because around the Sagrada Familia, there's apartments and they've got people protesting and saying, don't you dare knock down our buildings because, well, the architects, they're wanting to get rid of some of the housing around the area just
because it isn't a very residential area, is
it?
Yeah.
So the argument is, well, you knew that we were going to have the space cleared, so why are you expecting to keep your properties? Mm. So yeah, it was very interesting, that side of things.
It's gone and hit us with
but
the
it's addressed to the Isle of Man's best news podcast team.
Boom.
We've been downed with that faint praise before, haven't we?
It says, greetings from Barcelona. Not one to get all emotionally attached to transport, unlike a certain member of the podcast team. I think she means you, Sam. But I'm very excited to be writing this on the top floor of a double-decker train. The views from Barcelona to Milan, and then she's put, have been delightful, crossed that out, are delightful.
Yeah, I was there in the moment.
Anyhow, Barcelona was sick, but spelled S-I-K.
Yeah, that's
how the kids say it, okay? It's been sick. Mm. I did a couple of walking tours. One was a general one, which was carried out by a very animated American called Eric, with a K. He taught us a lot about the political climate over the years in this city. Very interesting. Caps, exclamation mark. We had a Gaudi tour and finish with a trip around the Sagrada Familia. Adios, Jess.
Oh, that was lovely.
Look at you being all cultural in Barcelona.
It's a beautiful city.
Are we writing off the Porto one now?
Yeah, I feel like that's never going to come here.
Oh, dear. But, well, it's been lovely hearing about your updates from your interrailing trip. And if this has inspired anyone of you listening to send in a postcard, please do. Where can they send them to, Katie? I've just plucked that out of the air, so you're going to have to turn your script to find out what the address is. Go on, quick. Hey, there you go. Yeah.
So it's Isle of Man News Podcast, or any postcard will probably find its way to us.
Yeah.
Isle of Man Newspapers, European House, Peel Road, Douglas, Isle of Man, IM15ED.
Fantastic.
Boom.
Right, before we get into the meat of this podcast sandwich, Sam, he says in big letters here to ask Sam about Ben Hammersley. He's got a great nerd fact.
I have.
Right. Do you need to clear your throat before we have this?
No, let's go for it.
Let's go for it. Now, we're on a roll.
When was the word podcast invented?
It's probably been around for about 5 years.
I feel like maybe older than you'd think.
Is it a medieval word?
No, it was February.
I don't know.
It was February 2004. Ben Hammersley was writing a column piece for The Guardian about what at the time called internet radio blogs.
Ooh, and, I prefer that.
Internet radio blogs.
He had the ultimate journalism nightmare of being one line short, and he had to add a line. And the line he added was, but what to call it? Audio blogging, podcasting, guerrilla media?
So where did he pick podcasting from? Yeah.
When you could have guerrilla media.
Yeah.
Well, but then he goes, a few months later, the Oxford English Dictionary rang him up and said they'd never heard the term podcast. And they said to him, where did you hear it? And he went, I just made it up. So
podcasts
were around, but that's, I suppose they weren't born, but they were christened.
That's a life.
In February 2004.
That's a life goal, isn't it? To try and get a word in the dictionary that you've made up yourself.
Yeah.
And I looked on Wikipedia. He is on the podcast page where it goes all across the world explaining them. He is credited as the person who invented the term.
There you go. Ah. Every day is a school day. Sticking on the themes of school again before we get to the news, and this is, I know why you come in, you come for the news and you stay for the random amble of chat, but you know, I heard when I was walking down to work after my lunch, I heard this story that I, you know, maybe I should have given you a bit of warning this because it might shock you.
Okay.
So conker trees, I've forgotten their actual name. That's not their name. What's the name?
No
chestnut
idea.
Trees?
Yes. Well done. Yes.
Knowledge.
Is it, or are you just, is that a guess?
So, it's a total guess.
Is
but...
it a horse chestnut tree is the full name of it?
Something along those lines. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about.
Conker trees.
Yeah. Conker trees are on the red list in UK now. They're under attack from moss and moths. Or maybe it was just moths. But I think we'll go for a combination of the two. And they are endangered.
Really?
Now, I must add, I don't know if this is specific to, you know, it's not specific to the Isle of Man. I think this might be a wider UK.
Is it the grey squirrel's fault?
Probably. Let's blame them. We've got
Brexit.
Them here. So, yeah, it's probably Brexit. So, yeah, there is a distinct danger that we might
but they're gonna
have
go
fought
extinct.
Our last conquer fight.
Oh, man.
That's really weird, actually, because another fantastic nerd fact I learnt this week, that Britain is now pretty much at the level of trees that was recorded in the Doomsday Book. So we've planted that many trees in the past 15 years and 20 years as like a nation.
Mm.
We're reaching levels of like medieval history.
So
for all this thing saying we need loads more trees, we're at pretty much the highest level Britain has ever been at.
That's great.
Good tree
fact. You know how it was announced that there was going to be a tree planted to kind of represent all of the population, really, so for each person who lives here. They should really invest in some conker trees then.
Well, I think we could
you know, regenerate that whole...
the conquer culture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was such a huge thing.
Maybe
you
know a follow-up,
they were saying
Sam?
That there's a thing in the Independent, I think it is saying that fishermen are being asked to diversify away from scallops.
Mm.
We could be... like, if they're going to die out in Britain, we could grow conquer trees in the Isle of Man.
Conquer
we could have
holidays.
A forest. We could do conquer holidays. We could export conkers all across Europe.
Can you eat them?
Yeah, you can actually.
You have to pickle. No, that's when you make them. Oh, sorry, that's a trade secret if you want to.
Yeah. You put them in your vinegar.
Yeah.
Strengthen them.
Don't they have like stalls at Christmas markets where they like.
Oh,
is that the right
thing?
They
chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Well, you can do the same.
Conkers roasting on an open fire. Oh, that's a bit tough. There goes me dentures.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
So into the news this week, Jess, and we're going to start with a story about the secondary schools in the Isle of Man and their respective mobile phone policies. Because actually, it's not a blanket one for all of them, is it? Each of them have their own opt-in
rules.
And outs and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they are quite similar. So this is a story that is written by Paul Speller, who is like our political correspondent. So he's bringing the news from Tynwald. And he's saying that the main message from schools is that you can bring your phone in, but they must be switched off and out of sight too. So this is in secondary schools. There's kind of been a bit of arguments between whether or not phones are a benefit because they could be learning aids, but then you've also got to compare that to issues such as cyberbullying. So those are the type of things. And distractions, I suppose. But yeah, this is going to be brought in into more light as the education bill kind of comes into the foreground a little bit. They're going to have, like, because schools have their own policy, but this education bill is kind of going to give them some guidelines on how to implement that. So yeah.
So what are our thoughts then, Sam? Now, you would have had mobile phones as a child. Yeah. I had to wait till I was the grand old age of 18 before I got my first one, I think.
Yeah, I mean, do you know what, actually? There's a bit of it which goes, it's a stupid thing. Like, you know, they're going to have to phone on them anyway. We all did when we were at school. But then at the same time, I think kids, they have lost a bit of something by being able to cyberbully each other.
They've lost a bit of something?
Yeah, in the sense of they've lost the communal spirit of being in detention and looking at the desk and finding out some rumours about someone's mum. So I think there's an element of at least we can get back to old school bullies.
I mean, yes. I see where you're coming from slightly.
I think your sentiment is slightly lost. So were you not condoning bullying?
No, I'm not condoning bullying. I'm just saying that at least when we were at school, if you wanted to make some rude comments about someone, you really had to get in and then scratch
carve
at the
it
table.
On a wooden table.
You needed like a compass or something.
Say it to the face.
Sam Turn's views don't represent that on my newspapers. Right, okay, so yeah, and I've got a 15-year-old stepson who is constantly on his phone and playing games, Snapchat, all that jazz. Even to the point, do you remember when bottle flipping was a thing?
Yeah.
He had a bottle flip game on his phone.
Because
he could, so he was, yeah, he was doing it virtually rather than actually bottle flipping.
I just think in school environment, it's so important to have such really good social skills, and we're just completely losing that with our mobile
phones.
Completely
agree, yeah.
And I also feel like that plays a huge issue on your mental health too, because, I mean, you're supposed to be building connections and you're going to be using that when you go into work. And I think, you know, you're always comparing yourself when you're looking at social media, cyberbullying. So what effect is that having on kids' minds? I don't know.
Katie, to sum up, what are your thoughts?
I think phones are brilliant to use when learning. Like when I used to teach English in Argentina, it would be so... Like, you don't always carry a laptop around with you or a tablet or whatever, so it's so useful to just be like, okay, like, get out your phones, there's this YouTube video, we're going to learn some new vocabulary, like, it's something everyone has on them, kind of all the time.
Useful too.
Yeah, and there's so many, especially, like, I used to get, like, long bus journeys all the time. If you've got, like, 20 minutes on the way to school in the morning and you've got your phone with you, you could be doing, is what you probably are on Instagram or Snapchat. But there's so many learning tools as well with phones. So it's a shame to write them off completely.
It's a difficult one, and it'll be interesting to see how it develops from now, because yes, any rules are always going to be people that are trying to verge it around it, aren't they? So, but yeah, it's certainly one that's probably going to continue to cause debate.
They can find that if you want to read more, that's in the Manx Independent.
Right, that's in, which is in the shops, and of course online at imtoday.co.im. My third favourite tab.
Digital editions.
Yes. Right, from mobile phones to emergency loans, Sam. That's something I know I'd never say. And it's not an emergency loan for you.
No, it's not, unfortunately.
Times are tough for Sam.
They are. Yeah. I've got conkers in the bottom of the garden. I'm thinking of selling them. There's a shortage. Essentially, so this is the Promenade Regeneration Scheme.
The much talked about.
Yeah, I mean, it's impressive in a sense that this has got to the level of, like, you know, like how the steam packet is a buzzword on the Isle of Man. Like, it's something that draws people's attention. The Promenade Regeneration Scheme has become, it's taken on a life of its own. And now we're at the point where the government are admitting that they have this grant scheme, which isn't working because there's been two businesses applied. One wasn't allowed to have it, and the other one is waiting for the money, but they'll get it eventually. So they've decided instead they're going to do like a £2 million emergency loan scheme where you can apply for it and pay it back interest-free over 10 years.
Right.
The thing is that gets me about this, it's a case of the lack of planning that went into the Promenade works is unbelievable. That we're just this is like the third attempt now the government have gone, we've got this idea to fix it, it's going to be wonderful. And then it's just, there's a breakdown in every department that has been involved in this. And you got... Claire Barber, MHK, who was Claire Betterson until recently, she got married to Mr. Barber. And she said to Lawrence Scurlock, who's the enterprise minister, whose department is doing this loan scheme, she said to him, until you've sat at business owners and heard them tell the effect of their mental and physical health and their families, the use of life savings and credit cards to bolster these businesses, I don't believe you can truly understand why resolution to this is so essential and so urgent. And we get the same thing. We've spoken to a load of businesses along the ground. Mm. And I just look at it and just think that this is a complete and utter... it's a legacy-defining disaster for this government, I look at it.
But do you not think... Yeah, I agree with your points you made there. But do you not think it's because it's such a big project? You know, they've probably underestimated the scale of it a bit. Yeah.
Well, they shouldn't have done. Mm. That's I mean, there's a thing in here about saying that Ms. Kelly says the department only got involved in this in April. Why is the enterprise department, which is the business, why is that only getting involved 6-7 months into a scheme? They should have been in from day one. I mean, that's actually conflicted as well, because there's documents that from years ago, Cabinet Office documents saying that they were involved from the start of this,
right.
So which we've done stories on in the past. So the whole thing has just been sort of make up as they go along while sticking to this master plan. It's kind of like Brexit. We know where we're going. We don't know how long it's going to take to get there. There's going to be a lot of disruption on the way, but you'll get there. It'll just be a bit slower.
So let me just get this in my head. You've just said that the promenade scheme, this is what if you can take anything away from today's internet thingamabob broadcast, is that the promenade scheme is essentially Brexit with horse trams.
Yes.
You heard it here first.
I drove down to the Termini the other day, and it's dragging on now, isn't it? Was it 18 months we meant to be in the initial time frame? Is that right?
Well, it's sort of a weird one, because originally it started off as I think it was 3 years was the plan. Then the infrastructure minister, Ray Harmer, suddenly said, oh, it's 2 years, which actually was a bit weird, because Timbald had voted for 3 years, but then suddenly it's 2 years. So everyone was like, oh, good, that's going to be great. But we're just over a year into it now, or just around about a year into it, and you're looking at it going, there's a lot of work to do here.
Mm.
And we know that they're a good over 2 months behind, probably 3 months behind. And I just think that I can't see this going to be finished in a year's time.
But if you want to read more about that, that's in this week's Alman Examiner on page 5. And please, please, please do run out to your newsagent and pick up a copy now.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, Samuel, it's the time of the week where we talk about a sports story. We usually stay shy away from the beautiful game, football, because the very niche Manx Football podcast, Dave Norton and I present, covers that on its own. Please do download it and all the good and some bad podcasts. Podcast hosting thingamabobbies. I did thingamabobbies.
You're on Alexa.
I am on Alexa. It's very, you've woken up to me and Dave before.
It's very weird. I set it as my alarm on board and you just hear Dave just talk about Division 2 combi and then the weather. I'm just like, this is a very bizarre morning
experience. Like, yeah.
But yes, we tend to stay away from the beautiful game. But we experienced a different side of it yesterday, didn't we, Sam?
Yeah, walking football.
Walking football. Now, you were very interested before we went out.
I really was, yeah.
The Alman newspapers fielded a team in it was a sort of publicity tournament. They were trying to get more people to play it, and we joined. I think it was another three teams, wasn't it? Was it four of us in total?
Yeah, it was four teams in total, yeah.
Some of them were pretty good, when they obviously play every week. And we did all right, didn't we? I think we drew four games and lost the other.
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah. Drew five and lost one, wasn't it?
Go on.
Sorry, I was about to say, when you say draw, did Dave say yesterday you didn't score one goal?
No, we only conceded two, and that was the game we lost.
Yeah, so and Sam hit the post with an absolute rasper.
Yeah, a lot of you came back injured.
Well, Kurt's on crutches today.
I mean, bear in mind, I've got a sprain in my knee ligament, and that's meant to take 3 months, and this is about 5 weeks since I did it.
Why do you go into these situations?
Because he did it for the cause. He did it for the badge on his chest. The exactly. Alman newspapers... but yes, yeah, so walking football, for those that haven't seen it, it's essentially what it says on the tin, really, isn't it? It's a football played at a walking pace. You can't hit the ball above head height. You know, yeah? The goalkeeper has a very distinct area which no one else is allowed in. Which I think were the other major differences were.
Pitch is obviously a lot smaller.
It's about 5-a-side, isn't it? Was it 5 or 6-a-side we played yesterday?
Yeah.
Something like that.
What was the age range?
So it's aimed at the older gentleman, plus 50 usually. And it's trying to keep them
active.
So when
you've retired from playing football...
Yeah, you want to try and keep
them active.
Yeah. So these guys do a session on a Thursday at the NSC, and I think they do one on a Monday as well now. And it's basically just keeps them active without the full-on trauma
without
of...
injuring themselves, but I don't know if you guys have proved that. So,
it's
pretty
we're not
much
used to
all
it.
Of you were injured today.
I'm all right.
You're okay.
Disco Dave Morton's all right, isn't he?
Surprisingly.
It's just the older guys. Well,
Sam's 24.
But you're talking Kurt is proper health and safety Kurt. Mm. He does marathons and like parish walk and stuff.
You should have seen him throwing himself around that pitch yesterday. There wasn't a tackle, it wasn't contested.
Didn't he get told off for a tackle?
Yeah, he did.
So how do the tackles work? Because I can't imagine it
walking into a tackle.
Well, you're not meant to slide tackle.
Kurt did
you're
that.
Not allowed to tackle from behind.
Kurt did that.
And you're not allowed to you're not actually allowed to jump off the floor.
Kurt did that.
And Kurt did all three in one.
Yeah.
So
he
won the ball. He did win the ball.
But you meant it's sort of like two forces colliding, isn't it? And someone comes out with the ball. It's a lot harder than you think it's going to be. You know, I wasn't going in under any illusion because I've played walking football before, but it is tougher. And it's surprising you come off surprisingly knackered, don't you?
Well, yeah, because I suppose it's just sort of like in your head, it's a bit of a weird conditioning to get over to begin with when you're not running. And it is annoying when the ball's like a yard in front of you and you're trying to like stretch for it sort of thing and you can't break into a stride. Although we were the only team walking.
Yeah, there were a few.
There was a good number just sort of jogging about.
Yeah,
and
cheats.
So,
I was going to ask, what is the pace? Can you do
It's like a race walk.
Mm-hmm.
So we reckon Jock Waddington and Richard Gerrard, obviously multiple parish walk with time winners, they'd be amazing at this.
Yeah.
It was a learning curve. But the point I was going to make, so as you said, it tends to be for people who have retired from the game. They're going to try and maybe bring in a slightly younger crowd and trying to open it up. And maybe the ultimate aim is to have a walking football league, which I think would be lovely. So,
okay.
Kurt and Dan, although they may not say the same today after they're both limping around, said they were quite keen to join up full time, weren't they?
But don't they practice? Don't they play some games on lunch hours?
Yes. So they do. I think it's 12 to 1 or something like that.
Yeah, that's good.
But there'll be more details on this in one of our esteemed publications next week. I think we should share the pictures of Sam in action on our Ironman Newspapers podcast.
I've not seen them yet, I'm excited.
There's one of a genuine look of anguish. I think he must have hit the post at that point or twisted his knee.
Levels of pain.
Yeah,
I don't think anything will ever top the paddle warding one because one of them looks like very dodgy.
It's obscene.
It's not quite, it's just where the paddle is, it just looks quite bad.
That's a lovely
visions
throwback Thursday reference for you there. If you want to hear more about Morecambe football, please do look at the papers next week. We'll have loads of pictures, including me and Sam and Disco Dave, the much vaunted, and Kurt, health and safety Kurt. It's a who's who. It's Los Galacticos. It's almost like Real Madrid.
Less of a who's who and it's more of a who's that.
Yeah. So please do look out for that next week. Right, it's time to hop into the Ironman Newspapers podcast at DeLorean once again, Sam. And we go back to 1960 this week. And the Ironman Examiner of that week, Thursday the 29th of September, came out on Thursday then.
Yeah.
Obviously now it's a Tuesday, baby. Now it's a Thursday. Then it was a Thursday. It's another jam-packed front page. I'm going to kick off with the lead story, which is about Princess Alexandra's visit to open a 323,000 extension to Nobles Hospital. Which I think is funny because obviously there she is. Is her name Cecil? Oh, Cecil Beaton, as you took the picture.
The photographer.
Yeah, Ken's picture of Princess Alexander. And it's obviously we've got Princess Anne coming later on in the year to open various bits and bobs, haven't we?
Yeah, I think that's on October the 5th.
She'll be here next.
I'll be off the island for that.
Oh, Katie.
Well, she's not been away for 2 weeks. So she must be.
Was she coming to see you?
Yeah, she specifically requested to meet up with me for a drink. I'm nervous.
So what else caught your eye this week, Sam?
Variety of things, really. But there's just the thing about cash offer for dairies, but Milkman's petition resists marketing plans, which was under the strapline of latest news about your Pinter.
Pinter.
I'm going to get shouted at for saying that later.
Yeah.
Pinter. Which was apparently quite a common thing that was used at the time to
describe Milton.
Yeah.
Richard, but our editor came over and got very excited about it.
Right, Pinter.
Yes, he was saying.
So it also sounds quite almost Portuguese.
Yeah.
There was a lad that played for St Mary's called John Pinto, which is almost that. And he was Portuguese.
No, no.
Yeah. And I think his name was actually Jao, but the South Douglas people, the good people in South Douglas, had renamed him John.
Anglify everything.
Yeah. So that's an interesting story. Anything you caught your eye, Jess?
So I also looked at the new sea terminal work at the beginning. That's quite exciting. So they're looking to erect a horse tram shelter at the end of the Victoria Pier. And so, yeah, they were saying that it was one of the first parts of the new sea terminal layout scheme. That would be carried out that winter.
What are people's thoughts on the sea terminal? I don't mean the inside gubbins, I mean the actual aesthetics of it. You know, do you think, oh, that's a bit of all right? Or do you think, ooh.
It's ugly as anything, but I kind of love it.
It's a bit sort of like, you can imagine it would have existed in a communist country before the curtain came down.
Yeah.
You know, they've thrown a load of public money at it. It looks a bit concrete-y, but that's all they've got to work with.
Yeah. I mean, I think we would all appreciate it a lot more if the areas surrounding it were actually developed and not just car parks and
a bit more looked after.
Exactly. I think then we'd be like, oh, what an interesting piece of architecture.
It's just so grey and so boring. And I didn't even realise, I know this is like bad on my part, but I didn't realise it was in the shape of the three legs of man. I mean, it's just not a very inspiring building.
And it just looked like this.
I don't know.
Yeah, when you look at it from above, that's the shape of it. It was done to It was even done. It was even done deliberately.
Wow! Well, because I think it looks like a crown.
Yes.
And I remember a time, all three of you be too young. You could go up, and there was a restaurant in the.
There was. I never went there, but I've heard many a story.
But is that where the Department of Infrastructure is now?
Yes, the Crow's Nest. Yes, it was Italian, I think.
I remember when I first came in here. There was a restaurant where WH Smith and Costa is. And it was like the captain's lounge.
Yeah, been there before. We had a sports desk night out there once. Yeah. It happened to be carnage.
But it's just such a... Like, they're not proud of that building whatsoever here in the Isle of Man.
I remember there was a talk last year, I think at Alpine, about the architecture of like the sea terminal. So I think certain people are very proud of it.
Do you know a fellow who was an apprentice architect that worked on it?
Yeah.
And he was saying about the windows they put up on the top level are still the same ones. Because they can't take them out. Because the way they were put in, they'd have to rip out the entire frames and put in basically double glazing now to get them in.
Because
you can't take them out.
I've got a love-hate relationship with it. You think, oh, yeah, that's not really the gateway to the Isle of Man that we maybe deserve. But then you think, oh, I quite like that.
Yeah. I don't know what I would want there instead of that. Like, what kind of building?
I think it does offer a lot. I mean, there's a lot of amenities there. That is really good, and I think the layout could work. It just needs a bit of TLC.
Realistically, it's predominantly a ferry. It's predominantly a what's the word? Shipping port, not the word.
Yeah. Terminal.
No.
This is a good game.
Freight. It's basically a freight port.
Yeah.
So like it, you know, that's it needs to just work as that more than anything else.
Mm.
But I just get that, you know. I always thought they could when they were looking at doing something with it. I was thinking, if you're going to do it, why not do that and put the buses outside the front of it and have the whole thing there in one,
like a transport mega hub.
Yeah,
who'd be down there with his anorak then?
If they can get the horse trams up there, I mean.
Right, before we move on, just two more things from this front page, which was said from the Isle of Man Examiner in 1960. Do you see the picture, Katie, and the governor? At the very bottom, the caption, and it says, this is Lieutenant Governor Sir Ronald Garvey, found much interest in the making of Manx Tweed at Timber Mills this week, which I thought was lovely.
He's pointing,
going, is that Manx Tweed? And the guy's going, yes.
And his little tweed cap.
I love, the guy, I think he's photobombed. Because I think that guy, the one on the right, is who looks like an actor that's sort of like in every British sort of period.
He's got one of those faces.
Yeah, but the guy on the left, I just genuinely
just
think...
Just a big tweed enthusiast showed up for the event.
So that's a lovely little picture. Yeah, but have you seen the adverts are amazing this week?
Some of the adverts are like the modern kitchen units make work so much easier. And there's a lovely picture of a woman making her sandwiches in the kitchen.
And you can get them at RC Kane's. I like the sale of oddments.
Where is that?
Oddments in men's footwear.
So do you think it's like one? You could buy a right or a left shoe, but not both. Because they're odd. And clothing as well, maybe like one-legged trousers.
I don't know.
We'll have to Google for oddments later. Now, see, Sam's just picked up on the car prices.
Here is your car.
A 1937 Morris Minor for £25. I mean, in today's money, that's probably what?
I also love the fact that, see, the more pricier cars available, the 1954 Volkswagen Deluxe Saloon with heater, that was £295, which is, yes, quite astonishing, really, isn't it? Right, so that was this week in 1960, and the Aliment Examiner of that time. That came out on a Thursday, which, of course, now it doesn't, does it? Comes out on a Tuesday, as everyone should well know.
Katie knows that because she's in distribution, you see.
As always, following this week in history, it's time to go down linguistics lane. You love that linguistics lane, don't you?
I do, actually.
I do like that.
And Manx, word of the week. Katie.
Okay, so last week we had imbachan, which meant seasons.
Ooh.
Why I picked that, I have no idea. I think it's probably just...
It's quite a long... Imbachan sounds nothing like season.
No.
So you wonder how they've borne that one out.
Were you looking out the window?
I think I probably was thinking, definitely autumn.
Okay. So what, Jess, what have we got this week?
Okay, so this week we've got... Oh, okay.
You'll struggle with this, I reckon.
Thanks,
yes.
Katie, for the encouragement. I mean, it's spelt buck... Illy.
Yeah.
And it's pronounced Bacholia.
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 Ooh.
Oh, so you're good at...
Yeah, the...
That's because his throat's phlegmy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but
he's got an advantage there.
Give it a phlegmy middle.
Okay, so...
Give it a phlegmy middle. You haven't put that in the tasting notes. So, we will hear how phlegmy the culture of Annan boys are now.
Bacholia.
Yeah, there was definitely
a lot of phlegm.
A phlegm.
That was borderline Belgium.
Flemish. Very Flemish. She got it. Right, that's about it for this week. Jess, what have you got much coming up next week?
Yeah, so I have gone out to the public again, and I've asked
You keep
them,
doing that.
I keep doing it. You know, just
she loves the
love
public.
The public. Yeah. So I've asked them about. How they book their holidays and whether what's happened with these travel agencies going out of business and closing down, whether that affects their idea of going to somebody to book their holidays.
Their holiday habits.
Yeah. So I thought it was quite interesting.
She's been to Katie.
Yeah.
There's not many places you've not been.
That's true. Yeah, you're an expert.
So that'll be in the Examiner, of course.
Yeah, that'll be in the Examiner.
As always.
Apart from that, I am working on there's a tribute piece that I'm working on for a former captain of the steam packet, so there'll be a nice write-up about him and his life. Aside from that, there's also been struggles with the children's speech and language therapy. I mean, there's waiting times and...
Because we've discussed that on the podcast before.
Yes, we have, yeah. So there's an update on that.
So that's all in the
Examiner. In the Examiner, yeah.
Katie, what's happening in the world of distribution next week?
Producer Emma is back.
Oh,
so that's an exciting
time.
Let's
get the bunting out.
For me to have a friend to talk to.
Yeah.
Do
you not like cross like ships? Because aren't you away soon?
I go away on Thursday.
So you won't be in next week's podcast?
I might be.
Oh, cool.
If it's recorded on Thursday.
Yeah, we probably will.
Before I go to the airport.
Okay.
But. Just getting ready for Little Starters next week.
Everyone flipping loves Little Starters,
don't they? Exactly. So that's coming soon to the Manx Independent.
Coming soon!
Coming soon. I've seen some of the photos and they're just funny and adorable.
The cute factor is huge.
It really is.
The cute factor.
I like the ones where you can tell the teacher's probably separated two friends who were causing a bit too much mayhem.
Oh, yeah.
At the third take, and John Mandel going, come on! Yeah. So much coming up.
Yeah, loads.
Okay. Should we leave it there? Is your voice about to go?
I think it is, actually. Yeah.
Oh, you've gone. You sound like Kathy Burke. On that bombshell. Until next week.
Bye for now.